What do you want? Statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list?
Look.
You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour, episode 162. It's November 23rd, 2021. Ben, the Breaker of Banksters.
Future Dan, we are live on another Tuesday night.
We are live.
Sorry about that. Mic problem. Reintroduce yourself, sir.
Future Dan, we are live on Tuesday night.
Well, I'll just scream that loud.
It's working now.
We are live. It is Patriot Power Hour. We got a very special show today. We got a special guest. The NBC guy himself will be joining us in the second half to talk about some Soviet terminology and how it applies to today.
And he just got back from a former Soviet country, so the perspective is going to be interesting. We're going to try to map old speak from the Soviet Union to new institutions, new things happening in the Western world this century, and you know, draw a parallel. Give a little historical perspective tonight.
NBC guy, second half, Dave Jones, we call him Nuke Guru. Going back to this past summer, a lot of fun when we met him in person during our little Ozer Highland exercise. Well, we do have, of course, the News Blitz, which we'll get to in a, kind of a shortened second segment right before we bring Mr. Jones on. But we do have a few minutes before we even get into the headlines, get deep into the news. Besides plugging PrepperBroadcasting.com, I wanted to plug again one of the books that's a sponsor of the network. And Future Dan, the Bioterrorism, the Prepper's Guide to Surviving Bioterrorism. I read about 3/4 of that this past weekend. You lent me a copy.
Update, yeah. Update on your progress through it. Yeah.
Yes, it is very concise, easy to read, and gives you so much information about COVID and all other types of pandemics. So that, number one, you can understand and speak to others about the current and past pandemic we've dealt with, but also any future ones, let alone their smallpox or some other bioterrorism or natural release. So, you know, before we have such an action-packed show today, I really wanted to get that plug in there because it is worth reading. It's an easy read. I was kind of had some football in the background and was doing some chores and in between reading a chapter here or there and learned a whole bunch in a real short time. So check it out. I know that PBN has a bookstore now, PrepperBroadcasting.com. You can find it there and a bunch of other cool stuff too.
Yeah. So we're going to get into our, you know, we previewed it last week. It's not really a thought experiment, but we're going to do a little exercise in terminology, draw some parallels, try to get some interesting perspective on what the Soviet Union was and what our country has become. But in the second quarter, it's going to be a quick news blitz, right? But there is a lot of news. If you have anything you want to mention on this episode,
okay,
let's do it now. What is this week's salient headline that catching your eye? Anything new economically?
Yeah, I'm very biased towards economics and the whole financial Ponzi scheme that we face, and that is very important to preppers in particular for many a reason. But reaffirming Jerome Powell at the head of the Federal Reserve just continues the same policies. It's, of course, never going to change, but seeing that put into place while this inflation is really starting to turn the corner, and he's going to be between a rock and a hard place. But it doesn't matter. He's been blessed once more by another administration. It doesn't matter, Republican, Democrat. The Fed, gets that pass.
The central banking premier has been reinstalled at the Financial Politburo.
Absolutely. Meanwhile, the previous Fed chairwoman, guess what? She is your Treasury Secretary now. We'll talk a little bit about that when we talk about Soviet banking practices.
Yeah, Soviet banking practices. What else is going on this week? We got a guy who, black racist, drives a SUV straight into a parade, kills 5 by last report I saw. But horrible attack. What do you make of that? Brutal political violence or unrelated to political violence?
Oh, there's so many routes to go with this. Could do a whole show on it for sure. I'll focus on something that the headline right here says itself. He was out on $1,000 bail off of some domestic charges and a battery against a police officer and trying to run someone else over. And he got off on $1,000 bail. A lot of reasons why they're letting these people off a lot easier than they used to. Part of it is the social justice warrior aspect. Part of it's COVID. They don't. But a lot of reasons why
part
he should
of it
not
is
have
most
been.
Most people don't have more than $1,000 to come up with.
Well, that too. But I mean, point is, he shouldn't have been out.
Yeah. So
that's what I'm saying. So if you're going to let people out easier, a lot more of these incidents are going to happen. And crazy people that, he already had a few strikes, if you know what I mean. It could have been prevented if the system had been followed. Just that topic by itself is huge. But
security,
then you get into the fact of why he did this, that's a whole other cluster.
Security surrounding public parades will never be the same after these types of things. And judicial system is just increasingly earning distrust by more and more Americans. How can you trust a system that let that guy run over his girlfriend and within a week later plow into a parade?
Definitely messed up.
And it involves political violence, potentially. This may beget further future political violence.
For sure. And there's a lot of routes to go with that. But I point the finger to some degree at mainstream media and the overall just brainwashing effect that it has on people that makes them crazy. I'm not saying, you can't have a smoking gun against that. And they have a lot of legal liability protection. But trust me, they're winding these people up. Unfortunately, it's not going to be the last, in my opinion. It's
San Francisco, we got 80 strong mobs, flash mobs, showing up at luxury stores with hammers, smashing them to pieces and grabbing anything in sight. It's completely lawless in Northwest California right now.
Right now, it's the luxury stores, but when it's the grocery stores, you're going to be in real trouble. You're going to wish you were a prepper by then because your local grocery store is going to be ransacked, and they're not going to let you in. And they'll probably rob your ass if you can't try to get there.
Exactly.
So you better be prepping because they're starting now at Louis Vuitton, but they're moving down the chain real quick.
Yeah, what else this week? On Patriot Power Hour, Ben.
Was that?
What else must go mentioned in some level of detail?
That's true, because the second half, we're going to be hitting big-time projects, so let's get it out now. We will do the news blitz, but, vaccinations, in Austria, I know, foreign country, and we mainly focus here in America, but we're seeing the march of the mandates, starting with the non-vaccinated, but quickly turning into lockdown for everybody. I don't think in America, nationwide, they're going to be successful at that or even try, but in certain areas, lockdown is coming again big time this winter. So depending on where you live, you better be ready for that lockdown coming through. But there's a lot of people fighting back big time in Europe as well.
When you let the government
that's coming
buy
here,
back
all
your
that
guns
stuff too.
And you go to camps that resemble the FEMA camps a couple decades later, one follows another. Clearly, the Australian model is
both
not
Austria
working.
And Australia. They're both losing their you know what. And I don't understand how Austria. Like, it wasn't that long ago since the freaking Nazis. Like, you never learned your lessons yet? What's wrong with these people? Yeah. How do they let them get steamrolled by a police state this quickly? This is one thing that's pissed me off and kind of freaked me out about the pandemic. If like 5-10% of the population drop dead in a year, then I would expect people to acquiesce, but not even that many, not even 1% have died from this, and people are like giving up over their firstborn, literally. So easy for a lot, at least, of the population to just give into this so quickly, and it's not even that terrible of a disease relative to, as I read in the book that I plugged earlier, many of the past plagues.
All right. Well, let's get on with it. Let's get into break. Let's go ahead and do a news blitz and get Dave on the show, Ben.
Absolutely. We'll do it. Before we go to that blitz, make sure, again, prepperbroadcasting.com. Check out not only the bookstore, but we got a lot of really cool hosts and a lot of new shows, by the way. Tons of awesome new shows on PBN. So prepperbroadcasting.com, best way to find all of that. We'll be back. News Blitz and then NBC guys. Stick with us.
At the Prepper Broadcasting Network, our mission has expanded, and we have decided to use our influence to aid in disaster recovery. PBN is offering up our airwaves to nonprofits and boots-on-the-ground organizations that are affecting disaster recovery. The real people out there rebuilding lives. From organizations that reestablish the supply chain to those who deliver aid and even organizations that rebuild shattered homes and lives. The future of disaster response does not lay in the hands of some government organizations. No, it's up to us, Disaster Coffee. It only makes sense that PBN would partner with Disaster Coffee. Disaster Coffee is selling outstanding coffee that is roasted to order and shipped right to your door. A portion of their profits will be directly donated to disaster recovery organizations like Grindstone Ministries, Healthcare Ready, and Citizens Assisting Citizens. Disaster Coffee sources top quality beans that are roasted to order. You get coffee at its very best, but you also make a difference with every purchase. Disaster Coffee offers every customer the ability to join the National Disaster Relief Effort. Get yours at disastercoffee.com.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
We are back, episode 162, Patriot Power Hour on November 23rd, 2020. This is your news blitz. New York City moves to allow 800,000 aliens, not naturalized citizens, to vote in local elections. BLM rapper accused of vehicular homicide at Christmas parade was released on $1,000 bail for running over a woman last week. Judicial system distrusted. Parental rights systematically abused. Connecticut parents report kindergartners forced to read book promoting transgenderism. Free speech abridged. The National Institute of Health director calls for COVID conspiracies to be brought to justice. The conspiracists. Has he ever heard of the First Amendment? News censorship. 90% of, quote, hate speech removed from Facebook targets white people and men. Public schools being, students being openly propagandized. Rhode Island teacher warns critical race theory absolutely everywhere in school curriculums. The FCC votes to allow foreign-funded ballot measures. Ghislaine Maxwell's family files complaint at the UN, saying her detention is illegal. Powerful pedophiles, will they ever be exposed? Column 2, San Francisco Bay Area hit with looting while large alien caravan approaches Texas. President's son, private equity firm, facilitated a nearly $4 billion Chinese purchase of American-owned cobalt mine. FBI raids home of a mom who protested the local school board. Black racist kills five with SUV. Chinese orbital bombardment system firing hypersonic weapons shows unprecedented capability. Chinese hypersonic mystery weapon is what it's being called. It released its own payload. Nobody knows why or how. And in Eastern Europe, buildup of Russian troops and artillery shows a readiness for rapid, large-scale push into Ukraine this late fall. Russia threatens to destroy 32 NATO satellites today. Its defense minister says the United States rehearsed a nuclear strike on Russia this month. Column 3. National average price for a gallon of gasoline hits $3.41. With meat prices soaring, Ben, the St. Louis Federal Reserve says eat soybeans instead of turkey this Thanksgiving. Most expensive Thanksgiving ever, as traditional dinner costs soar 14% year over year. Misery index shows highest reading since the peak of the COVID-19 lockdowns. Economic concerns are hitting a pandemic high. People are starting to feel it. Fed Chairman's five inflation benchmarks are starting to flash amber. Vaccination effects are being exposed. 72% of Vermonters vaccinated, but COVID is surging there. Four times more vax people are dying than the unvaxxed in an English study. Subpoenaed FDA files show Pfizer documented nearly 159,000 adverse events in the first few months of the vaccination distribution. Vaccinated English adults under 60 are dying at twice the rate of the unvaccinated people of the same age. Meanwhile, vials labeled smallpox found in a Philadelphia lab and newly revealed government docs show researchers sent strains of viral DNA to the Wuhan lab for years. 1.6 Americans, including this one, have COVID-related smell loss with little chance of recovery. And the Army to begin forcing out soldiers who refused COVID vaccination, including guardsmen. That's your news wrap. We're going to get right out of this, Ben, and get in with Dave and take it to the next level with a little thought on what once was and what will be.
Great job, sir. Very pithy. Tons of stuff to go through. But guess what? We're not going to have time today. We're going to break super quick. We're going to bring Dave Jones on, get through some of this Soviet terminology and relate it to today. Really looking forward to that. PrepperBroadcasting.com. This is the Patriot Power Hour. We'll be right back with you. Stick with us.
Millions of Americans are still not protected against COVID-19. And we are seeing more infections among those who are unvaccinated. I issued a Surgeon General's advisory on the dangers of health misinformation. Surgeon General advisories are reserved for urgent public health threats. Misinformation poses an imminent and insidious threat to our nation's health. The mighty trumpet brings the freaks out to the floor. Health misinformation is false, inaccurate, or misleading information about health. The bass and the tweeters make the speakers go to war. Misinformation takes away our freedom. The mighty trumpet brings the freaks out to the floor. Misinformation has led people to resist wearing masks. what we call disinformation. We need an all-of-society approach. Checking sources before they share. Tell me where the freak's at. If you're not sure, don't share. Today, the Rockefeller Foundation is announcing a $13.5 million commitment. This is just the beginning. We expect more from our technology companies. Take action against misinformation super spreaders. Bringing individuals and organizations together. Let the leaders lead, preachers preach, welcome to the service. Nearly every death we are seeing now from COVID-19 could have been prevented. Did we do this for a purpose just to keep that fire burning? Kids are depending on all of us to get vaccinated. And we don't need no water, let that mother burn. For more and more patients with COVID-19 who never got vaccinated. Because they were misled by misinformation. Healthier information environment. There is disinformation that is coming from bad actors. Not sharing is caring. Misinformation literally costing us our loved ones. Technology companies have a particularly important role. Much more has to be done, and we can't wait. It's costing people their lives.
Tell me where the freak's at. We are in regular touch with these social media platforms. We've increased disinformation research and tracking. We're flagging problematic posts for Facebook. So we're helping get trusted content out there. COVID community courts. Robust enforcement strategy. Information travels quite quickly on social media platforms. Information spreads too quickly. We have empowered, engaged, funded local voices to combat misinformation that's traveling online or traveling, unfortunately, out of the mouths of elected officials.
Are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
We are back, Patriot Power Hour, episode 162, November 11th, 2021. On board with us now is Dave, the NBC guy. Welcome onto the show, Dave.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Awesome. Shot you a few show notes. We actually did show prep this time for Patriot Power Hour. You are in possession of a list of terminology from the Soviet Union era. And yes. The kind of the way this works is we got sort of three generations of peoples on this show right now looking at this idea that we're going to get into. We got the steely-eyed, barrel-chested Cold War warrior, Dave Jones. We got the Cold War kid who grew up and became an adult at the end of the Cold War. And we got the post-Cold War kid, the millennial, who knows this stuff because he is a millennial, values history, values concepts of political philosophy and understanding them. So we're going to have three perspectives on this tonight. And the name of the game, guys, is I'm going to run through these definitions real quick. For those who need a refresher or for those who maybe haven't heard these terms or have heard them and didn't know the real definition of them. And what I'm asking you to do, Ben, and you to do, Dave, is respond with what's the neo version, the new version, the you know, maybe not hard power, but soft power, coercive 21st century Western democracy version of what essentially the Soviets had been doing for 70 years last century. Everybody on board?
Yes, sir.
And just to let the listeners know, NEO is equivalent to quasi or new or, you know, mimicking. So when we use the word NEO, like neo-Nazi, it's like mimicking Nazis. So there you go.
Right. And there's neo-Sovietism, right?
Yeah.
So the Soviets, the philosophy of the Soviets, which we'll get to in a moment. Well, there's neo-Sovietism, and that is, Putin right now supposedly holds neo-Soviet views regarding law and order, military strategic defense, use of Russian patriotism, anti-Americanism, threatening to shoot down NATO satellites, like we talked about last segment. So neo-Sovietism is what is – that's what that's called in Russia today, and that's how the Europeans would – probably really understand the term neo-Soviet. But we're trying to do something a little different and Americanize this. A lot of these terms, we're going to talk about the neo-Soviet American version of it, right? But first, we got to get through some basic definitions. No response necessary from my colleagues. Just going to run through them. Bourgeoisie, social class that owns the means of production, right? Value property and preservation of capital. Proletariat, members of society whose only possession of significant economic value is their capacity to work. Class struggle, right? Every non-socialist society, according to Marx, was characterized between a conflict between the proletariat and the bourgeoisie. We got class struggle in the 20th century terms, but can you guys think of any other class versions of class struggle that we deal with today?
Yeah, going back to Occupy Wall Street and the 1%. And kind of that false narrative of tax the rich, eat the rich. I could say that.
Yeah. Where, do you see it today, Dave?
Oh, absolutely. It's almost everywhere. They try and spin it to make the rich people the bad guys. I mean, they're not paying their fair share. And what they're actually doing is destroying the middle class.
Right. And I see it with not just class struggle, but race struggle, gender struggle, transgenderism struggle. Name the fracture group besides just the workers versus the owners of property. Any kind of struggle is neo-Marxist today. Yeah. Moving on, dictatorship of the proletariat. In the early stage of movement towards communism and the overthrow of capitalism, they talked of the dictatorship of the proletariat. Socialism, according to Marxist-Leninism, it's the first phase of communism. It's a transitional stage, and it's pretty much the dictatorship of the proletariat makes that happen. Socialist countries. Here's a quiz, Dave. Name all the former Soviet or socialist countries. As the Soviet Union defined socialist country at circa 1989. Name all of them that you have personally been in.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, let's see. Romania, of course. Germany. And I was outside Czechoslovakia. I went over the border just like for a second to see if the helicopters was going to get me. I was not in Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, although I was old enough. I didn't make it.
And Ben, which ones have you hit?
I have not been to any of these.
Nicaragua?
I've never been to Nicaragua. Nope.
All right. I've been to East Germany. That's the only one I went to. But the list is Soviet Union, which includes Russia and all the other states that were Soviet Union republics. Poland, Czechoslovakia, East Germany, Hungary, Romania, Bulgaria, and then in Asia, or East Asia, China, Vietnam, Cambodia, North Korea, Laos, above China, Mongolia, and then in the Western Hemisphere, Cuba and Nicaragua, and then off of Africa, Madagascar. All right, so Marxist-Leninism goes without saying what that is. If your definition of what Marxism and Leninism is, the history of Karl Marx and his writings, the adaptation by Vladimir Lenin, and his revolution in Russia, then check up on that. Wikipedia is available for free. Permanent Revolution, coming at you guys with this one. A theory developed by Leon Trotsky that in a backward society, such that was Russia in the early 1900s, you know, a revolution would, you know, start in one country and permanently outbreak across the world, continuing until the entire world was unified under communist rule. And it was the official doctrine of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union until the late 1980s. Permanent revolution. Do you guys see a parallel to today?
Oh, yeah. All we have is the struggle. The fight is what we have.
Who said you that?
Well, Hillary Clinton,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Zelensky. Yeah.
Zelensky.
Yep.
Transmission Belt, an organization not formally part of the Communist Party apparatus, used by the party to convey its program and propaganda to the population at large. Can you give us some neo-transmission belt examples, gentlemen?
CNN.
CNN. Trade unions. The Girl Scouts.
Absolutely. The school union.
School unions. Absolutely. What about in the financial world? Where are the transmission belts?
Oh, my. They want to federalize all banks.
Bank regulators.
Yep.
Yep.
And what they cause the mainstream financial elite to have to believe their authority is.
Right, even like the FDIC all the way up through
all the different organizations. I picture this like Soviet factory where there's all these like assembly lines shipping out boxes out of a factory, like a transmission belt, right? And that's how the party organism gets its program conveyed out to the rest of society. So it's in the media, but it's not just the media. It's in the groups you belong to.
Yeah. Facebook, Google.
Yeah.
I mean, it's right.
Big tech in general. Yeah.
YouTube. You know, you say the wrong thing on YouTube. It's
exactly. Right. It's almost what they don't let you have is the transmission belt. It's like, what's the anti-transmission belt?
So all
you can see everything except what they don't want you to see type of situation these days.
The irony is it's corporations that make these transmission belts for the party program. You know, they're part of the apparatus, whereas originally under Marxist-Leninism, you know, the corporations were the target to be, you know, ended, right? Capitalist organizations. Yeah. Now they're doing the work in the same manner as the Soviets had attempted to implement for seven decades in Russia.
Yeah, it's all the wokeness that's going on. I had a listener ask me, you know, how do you get away from these woke corporations? And it's practically impossible. I mean, I just bought a new phone, and I don't want any Google products on it. Do you know how hard that is?
I don't even know if you literally can uninstall all of them if you have an Android, as an example.
Yeah, that's true. Those days are gone of control of your devices, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Well, revolutionary terms of the early Soviet Union and some of the police apparatus that they had. What's the parallel today to the Bolsheviks? Who are the neo-Bolsheviks? And just so everyone knows, the actual term Bolshevik means a member of the majority. It's part of what the early Russian communists, it was a faction within them. And it was under, that was the group that Lenin led, right? And they staged the Bolshevik Revolution. It was Bolshevik mob guard that, you know, assassinated the Tsar and the family. Who are the neo-Bolsheviks, gentlemen?
Antifa.
Antifa.
Yeah. Black Lives Matter.
Yep.
I mean, it's the people that are trying to put the anarchists, I mean, put anarchy into the country. It's all the groups that are doing that right now.
They kind of exactly want to spark that quote permanent revolution that we were talking about earlier. They want to,
yes, you
know, they think they can tip the scales and then start a chain reaction. That's what they're pushing for, as the radicals, right?
But the differentiator is they don't call themselves the majority today.
And no,
at a certain point in the process of dissolving into this kind of tyranny, a country, it'll have a block of murderous mob-led rule, they'll start calling themselves the majority.
Yeah, they think they're the majority right now, but they're really not. The majority are the silent people that are allowing this, you know, unruly, you know, world without rule, without rule of law. I mean, is what we're experiencing right now.
Yeah.
The flash mobs, the total lack of accountability, getting out on $1,000 bail just so you can go run over more people.
It has a neo-Bolshevik tinge to it, doesn't it?
Yes.
Cheka, the political police created by the Bolsheviks in 1917, leading instrument of terror and oppression, as well as the predecessor of other secret police organizations, for example, the KGB, the Committee for State Security, the predominant secret police organization of the Soviet Union. Neo-Cheka, Neo-KGB. I mean, these are terms you start throwing around at the CIA and the FBI, and half the people would scratch their head, and half the people would get upset at the idea. But honestly, how far away are we right now?
Well, when you're arresting a housewife, okay, a mother, for objecting to what the school board's doing, okay, if you're FBI raiding, I mean, isn't that the textbook definition of political persecution? I mean, there is the Federal Bureau of Investigation working as a secret police.
So I think there's factions within FBI that deserve to be called Neo-Cheka.
I believe so. Yeah.
Next term, Ben, the Politburo. Toss that one out in the first half for you. The foremost policymaking body of the Soviet Union. In 1989, towards the end, the Politburo had 12 members and 8 candidate members. The People's Republic of China has similar structures where there's just a large committee at the top running things. Where's the parallels today?
Oh, my God. Come on. It's who's ever pulling Biden's strings.
Right? Yeah. You know me, I'm biased towards the finances, so I know that there's literally, you know, 12 member banks of the Federal Reserve System, and they're dictating the economy. So that's definitely a Politburo of the financial aspect. But I feel like many of what on its face our American institutions have been converted into de facto
Politburos,
even though they look like they're still checks and balances. They've been kind of dissolved, if that makes sense.
Federal Trade Commission, Federal Communications Commissions, Federal Election Commissions, all of these congressionally supposedly independent of the executive branch, executive agencies function exactly like a Politburo.
Exactly. And back when the Soviet Union was the Soviet Union, they had a president that supposedly was elected. they were just they were nothing more than what Biden is today, a position with a guy. And they had no power.
Well, except Stalin pretty much had all of it, but.
I don't know if he was actually elected president, because it was the there were three people.
Oh, you're right. You're right. There was another title of a guy who was named that, and he was powerless.
Yes. Yeah. And it was like it wasn't prime minister. Well,
the premier was the leader, right? Premier Stalin, Premier Khrushchev, Brezhnev. So we get some more party terms. Dave, a Soviet, a Soviet, like the Soviet Union. What is a Soviet? A Soviet's a communist council. It's the basic state organ at all levels of the Soviet Union. So, in our country, we got county boards. Well, that was a Soviet, not of a certain sign. So that's more just definitional that, you know, you could call your local school board a Soviet. And those behaving as undemocratically as possible on it, you know, Soviet themselves. So
yeah.
I wanted to throw out this idea because we've had a few big time acquittals, or at least one in the last week, and we didn't even touch it in the first segment because in and of itself, it's not dangerous news. The Rittenhouse acquittal. In the Soviet Union, there is these things called a People's Court. This is the way communists did it back then. This official tribunal, Dave, Ben, had jurisdiction on almost everything in the Soviet Union. It was presided over a professional judge and two what they called people's assessors. Cases were decided by a majority vote, best two of three. Judges were elected for five-year terms in rigged Soviet elections. People's assessors corresponded kind of like jurors to our system. All were members of the party. Let's look at what we had in outcomes in Wisconsin this week versus what a people's court is. How close are we to turning traditional, Anglo-Saxon common law courts into Russian-Soviet people's courts of the 20th century?
Yeah, I think the Rittenhouse case was an excellent example of this because they charged him with crimes that he did not commit. I mean, there are elements that you have to fulfill. You have to check a block to be able to commit a crime. And I think I said this on one of the daily audio caches. They can't charge you with breathing. Okay. Right. So they charged him with something. I mean, and the prosecutor went forward. In our judicial system, there's several checks and balances to make a case go forward to the court. And the prosecutor is the one that's supposed to be like the safety valve. You know, maybe the police will get a little overzealous, overcharged, and, you know, pack the charges. You know, like that's when you get many different charges. If one of them don't stick, something will.
Yeah.
And the prosecutor's the one that's supposed to be the safety valve because he wants a good record of conviction.
Right.
And if he can go to court and get a conviction, well, Kyle Rittenhouse, all of those were crap.
I just want to move on by saying we don't have people's courts in this country. The traditional jury system and the judge and the balance of power worked in the Rittenhouse case. Just want to preview, though, if this gets bad enough someday, that's what a people's court looked like in the Soviet Union. An apparatchik. What's a neo-apparatchik? A person of the party apparatus, an individual who is engaged full-time in the work of the Communist Party. Scratch out Communist Party and put in Democrat Party or put in Republican Party. Who are the apparatchiks that come to your gentlemen's minds?
Well, the Karl Rove's, who's the Democrat guy? That's the opposite of Karl Rove's. But these are guys that facilitate the policy of the party.
Right.
They don't actually hold office. They just somehow get the machinery moving or something. A manager of the machinery.
George Stephanopoulos.
There you go.
Example.
Influencers.
Yeah.
Gosh, who is that guy? He was a congressman from the South, and he's bald, and dang, he's the Democratic version of Karl Rove.
Essentially, yeah, Carvel.
Right there, Carvel.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So apparatchiks, we've had them heavily in this country since probably the 70s, where there's a rotating door that brought them in. It's almost as though the Soviet style of rigging the system was, you know, rubbed off on some in America. We got apparatchiks now for sure. Intelligentsia, those are the intellectuals. That was the term in the Soviet Union. Today we have the, you know, Ivy League elite would be probably the corresponding Fauci concept here.
I was right to literally say Fauci and just kind of the medical establishment is really, there's a real stark line they try to press. Like if you're not a doctor working at the CDC, then you're not allowed to have an opinion at all. Because you're not part of the intelligentsia.
Yep. How does Gates get in? How does Bill Gates, you know, he's just some software guy. He and a doc.
He'd certainly consider himself part of the intelligentsia. Nomenclature. This is the Communist Party system of appointing key personnel in the state and other important organizations based on a list of critical positions they need to fill and people in that are seeking or have achieved political favor. Also refers to the individuals. Again, it goes hand in hand with the apparatchiks and the intelligentsia. It's almost as though the nomenclature include both those sides. The apparatchiks are the bureaucrats or people talented in a lot of things, not necessarily being intellectual, versus the intelligentsia. These, if you hear these terms from, you know, in talk radio or on the read them on the internet, this is the background. One of the most evil tyrannies that ever existed on the planet. These are their terms. So now I want to move a little bit into censorship terms.
Oh, yeah.
Active measures. Dave, I'm sure you received some intelligence briefings and were taught a number of things in your career in the U.S. Army during the Cold War about Soviet active measures. Maybe you can explain that a little for us.
Well, it's when they try to do something to turn your opinion. I mean, they actually physically do something to try and get you to change your mind, to question what you're doing. I mean, it's any number of examples.
Does the Fed practice active measures today, Ben?
Well, there used to be people that tried to hold the bond market accountable, and they've been totally crushed by the Fed. There's only winners in this market. So if you bet against the market, you've lost. And by that, that's active measures, because it's trillions of dollars they put in the market to skew it. So, yeah, I consider that active measures. It's changed everything.
Agitprop. Agitation propaganda. Agitprop. The use of mass media to mobilize the public in accomplishing the regime's demands. What's the greatest, most recent example of agitprop you've encountered, Dave?
Well, it's all this stuff that's been inciting the civil unrest by the media. You know, calling Kyle Rittenhouse the white supremacist when there's no basis whatsoever.
Agitation propaganda. Any good examples recently, Ben?
I was going to say COVID as well, and vaccines specifically.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Agitprop was endemic in it. It was Chinese agitprop, and then it was the deep state agitprop, despite the president not necessarily in agreement with what it was saying. And then after the previous president was unelected, the full-on agitprop. Izvestia, Pravda. Dave, did you know that these Soviet newspapers, one a daily nationwide, and both a daily nationwide newspaper in the Soviet Union, that the Pravda, the word in Russian, literally means the truth, and Izvestia literally means the news. So the Soviets just named their papers. This is the truth. This is the news.
Yeah. And it goes along with all these fact checkers and Politico. You will believe the truth when we tell you what it is.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. This post has been flagged as harmful or whatever.
Exactly. Good example. Yeah. Glavlit is an acronym that stood for the official censorship organ, later changed to the name Main Administration for Safeguarding State Secrets in the Press.
Oh, that's a good one.
What's the Glavlit we see today?
That's Politico, the fact checkers. These are the guys that tell you what the truth is.
I think it's decentralized. They're just part of a massively fractured system that produces the same official censorship program as Glavlit did in the Soviet Union, but Glavlit was centralized, and now it's just this consensus, this indoctrinated consensus that's so widespread that it has the same power as Glavlit, but it's just not, it's not organized like that. You can't really say there's a Glavlit now in the U.S. government, can you?
No, not necessarily in the government, but it's in all of the means of media. Facebook has their own independent fact checkers. YouTube I follow this Dr. Campbell on COVID-related things. He was recently flagged. One of his videos was flagged. And he said that he got this notice and he wanted to see who this committee was. And 9 out of 10 of the people that were on this committee to determine what the truth was were journalists. They weren't doctors. There was one person that was a doctor, but they had a doctorate's degree in communication. Not really, you know,
not medical. Medical doctor. Yeah. Right. Hey, I got one more under censorship terminology of the Soviet era, and then I'm going to hit some more for economics because we're running out of time. Samizdat literally meant self-publication, and that's what we're doing tonight on Patriot Power. We're self-publicizing and probably getting censored in many places for the content of our shows. Let's turn to economic terms, socialist property, Ben. Socialist property, the state owns all land, resources, and the means of production. Where do we have socialist property occurring in our economy today?
Just in my opinion, the growth of government spending becomes a greater percentage of gross domestic product.
But how does the government own the land and resources when they do that?
Because they're using them. I mean, they're paying for the use of them.
Who's paying for the use of them?
Well, they're printing money and taxing the people in a collective effort. And, you know, if 100%, if all economic activity is driven by the government, isn't all property also therefore being used by the government? And so it's all socialist at the extreme? I guess that's where
I was
going.
I don't think we're all the way to socialist property, not by this definition.
No. I'm not saying we're there yet, but I'm saying like it's.
We're getting very close because of regulation. I mean, we're regulating pipelines right now. Yeah, that's going to shut off, fuel and heating to people in the United States. So by regulating, you know, 85% of all utilities in the United States are privately owned, but the government regulates them. So they're bringing them about in socialist terms through regulation.
Got it. Collectivization, Stalin's policy of confiscating privately owned agricultural land, forcing consolidating farmers and their families on it. We don't have that now.
No, I see. I beg the difference. This is similar to before. I feel like the certain tax policies and in places like California, the restrictions, whether it's work comp, whether it's liability insurance, whether it's all different requirements, only the mega corporations can survive. So they're being collectivized in that regard, kind of a decentralized corporate collectivization.
Yeah, we're not talking about land anymore, but we're talking about ownership of major corporations that control the choices you have in the market. Absolutely. State Farm is there. That State Farm was actually a term for a state-owned and state-managed enterprise where workers were paid salaries in the Soviet Union. That's pretty much any business that has to file with the IRS today, right? Moving on, collective farm. That was when all the peasants were directed to be on land together and successfully harvest together. If they banned homesteading, it would be the effect of bringing about collective farming. Luckily, we don't have that yet.
Well, I got a great example. So my first trip to Romania, I saw these huge livestock barns, and they were falling down. And I said to Maria, you know, why don't someone get these things and get it going? She said, well, that was under the communist rule. They took your land and they made these livestock farms. Now no one can run them because they knew whose land they took. They had to give it back to the people. So all the land was divided up amongst the people that actually owned it, or the heirs, because it was only a period of like, I don't know, 50, 60 years that the communists were in.
A little bit shorter in Romania, yeah.
Yeah.
World War II did it for them.
Yeah.
So Soviet enterprises, a complex in the Soviet Union. We're talking about, you know, just state-run industries. Plenty of examples in contemporary Western life, especially in Europe, but we won't get into examples of those. I think it might be more interesting with the 5 minutes we have remaining to hit some of these, like, five-year plan. The Soviets had a five-year plan. Every Soviet regime stipulated a plan that gave figures for all levels of economy, individual enterprise to national level, and everyone is obligated to meet those goals. Why does that feel like a Federal Reserve meeting's readout, Ben, today?
Because they talk in that sort of language all the time. And one of your next terms here. And
yeah, go through the next three. Tell them what they are.
Gosplan and Gosbank, the state bank of the Soviet Union. And, of course, the Goskometsyn, the State Committee on Prices. So, centrally planned banking, pricing, and in particular, the Gosbank, which is so key to understand the finances we're going through right now. It was the combination of the Treasury Department, Central Bank, Commercial Bank,
JP Morgan,
and Settlement Bank. So think of it like this. It's the U.S. Treasury, Federal Reserve, Goldman Sachs, and JP Morgan Investment Bank as compared to a commercial slash settlement bank. So all four of those are supposed to be.
And the IRS, because it receives all tax payments.
Exactly. The Treasury Department, i.e., the tax collectors.
Yep.
So all four of those really need to have their own checks and balances and be very independent of one another to have a healthy free market economy. But under this, it's the exact opposite, of course. It's one of the planks of communism.
We got 3 minutes left. Dave, socialist legal terms. What was a gulag and what are the gulags today?
Well, that's what we're seeing springing up in Australia. It's the place that you go if you're against the political party. A gulag was a prison for the people that would speak out. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you did speak out, that you may speak out.
Yeah. And a cyber gulag would probably be associated with the trials and tribulations of the intrepid commander to find a way to host this network without the potential of being deplatformed. So being deplatformed is essentially the same as being thrown into a cyber gulag in this country today. Internal passports were actually, required in the Soviet Union, Dave. Does this sound familiar? State-issued document presented to officials identifying you and authorizing you to be where you are to restrict the movement of people. Sound like we've got any closer to something like that recently?
Absolutely. That when I was in Romania, the only place you could go without a vaccine to show your vaccine card was the grocery store. You couldn't go to the mall. You couldn't go to the hardware store. So you couldn't charge your cell phone. You couldn't go get supplies at a hardware store unless you were vaccinated. They hired private security to check your vaccination status, okay, so that the business wouldn't be held accountable, the people wouldn't hold the business accountable. But the only place you could go, and then there was a curfew, 8 o'clock, people vanished off the street. I mean, just vanished. If you were out after 8 o'clock, you had to have a vaccine.
That is it for this show of Patriot Power Hour. Dave, thanks so much for coming on and shedding some light on some of this terminology, bringing it into the 21st century with us.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Good show, Ben. And that is it for episode 162. Join us next week. We might take this to the sci-fi realm next. Patriot Power Hour.
Great
show.
Good
show,
stuff, guys. See you later. Life tearing at the seams. I don't ever wanna be here.
Thank you for listening to the Prepper Broadcasting Network, where we promote self-reliance and independence. Tune in tomorrow for another great show and visit us at PrepperBroadcasting.com.